We're absent a piano player this morning, and that naturally throws me off my routine, you know, because she always keys me in on some things. Welcome to each and every one this morning. It's so good to be in the Lord's house. We missed you last Sunday as the snow kept us out, but hopefully that you was all snuggled up and safe and so forth, and evidently was, or you wouldn't be here today. God has blessed you. You look so bright and cheery and be out today. We're glad to be here, glad to be a part of this church family, and glad to be able and have the freedom to come together, to worship together here this morning. Welcome in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we get started this morning, I want to pass out a couple certificates here, and that we have kind of been a little lagging on. And first week in February, we will try to recognize the folks who have had perfect attendance and just one or two or three out. First one, Douglas, if you'll come, here's a certificate of your baptism that you will have. Turn around here so we can get your picture, if you will, as I give this to you. Hold this there. Okay. All right. God bless you. And then Joanne, she has become a member of our church membership here last fall and never did get to give you your certificate. And we certainly want to give that to you. Yeah. I'll leave it. Now, wait a minute. We need one of you by yourself. We don't have one for our thing. Get one of her by herself. Tina and Ron, they are not here this morning. Boy, they have been faithful since they started, haven't they? And but they're in Florida this week. And they're all right. They're not sick. But anyhow, they're going to spend a week in Florida. So we just pray that they'll have a great week. We know they will. They're fine people, and we're so glad to have them come and be a part of our family. And same way with the rest of you. Joanne, we're just so glad to have you. And we're just, praise the Lord, we're thankful for Douglas as he's given his life, a young man, give his life over to the Lord and following him. It's just great. And so those are just a piece of paper, but they'll be there. You can hand them. They'll be a souvenir for your grandchildren or whatever. So whatever. Okay. Once again, it's so good to be in the Lord's house with you. And as we begin our worship service this morning, I want to share with you the very first psalm. And most of you probably know it by heart. It goes like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. God bless you. Let's worship together. Get my book.
For Hebrew worship, this morning we'll use number 330. This morning
we're going to sing the
first verse of every song. We're going to come in the piano. I'll have the prayer. It's all saying. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his praises? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege you granted us again today to come into your house on the Lord's Day. Be each individual this morning. They open up their hearts and minds and receive the message if they are. Now go with us through their other further exercises of service. Guard, guide, and direct us, and save us in the end is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're going to have number 197. Sing the first verse. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of blood, born of the Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praise you, my Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise you, my Savior, all the day long.
As we get around the Lord's table this morning, I'm reading the book of Luke chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles were invited to the table. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to pass over with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this right among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again but the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you gave us again today to be in the house, gather around that table, to do the faith of this cup and this loaf, and then your last son, Jesus Christ, and through him will have life and have their life. We pray for things that we say and do to be pleased in thy sight this morning. We ask that you be with us and forgive us when we fail, but these words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're come with thanksgiving. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have been able to, through your strength in us and given us abilities and given us talents, that we make a living, Heavenly Father, we earn a living. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for those who come back and they share. They bring offerings this morning to Heavenly Father to be used for the further of the gospel here at Porter and to the upkeep of the church building and the grounds. And so we're thankful, dear God, for those who are so lovingly and kindly and generously give to the work here at Porter. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, you would bless them, bless each and every one. May there be someone here that is not blessed like the others. Might you bless them in a good and wonderful way. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Once again, I say it's good to be in the Lord's house and certainly be back with the church family. I know that most of you people were snowed in last week and probably didn't get out, but we were fortunate. We was able to get out and went over to Knoxville. Lynn, as you know, Lynn White is preaching over Knoxville, so we spent the day with them. But it's so good to be. It's not like being here with the church family that you're so used to and so that are so wonderful to us, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. So glad to be here. And also we have a new gentleman in our auditorium this morning by the name of Steve back there. Steve, we welcome you. We're so glad that you would take the time to come to worship with us. We hope that you would be blessed and hope that you will come back and worship with us. God is good to our people here, and our people are good to each other, and we really love the Lord, and he does well for us. And Last week, I noticed that when I came, I noticed somebody had been here and they had taken all the decorations down that you folks had put up, the pretty things up for Christmas time and through the holiday season. And I wanted to thank them and I forgot to do that. But Mike and Donna, I understand, and Keith and Kim came and did that. So give them a hand of thanks for doing that for you. All right. We appreciate you. We appreciate you doing that. Okay, let's see. Also, we try to call everybody. And of course, our congregation is small. And if we have your card, if everybody has filled out a proper card with your name and address and your phone number on it, we have that on our file. And of course, everybody gets our newsletter from that. And then also that helps us to have you be available to call you if we do have a snow out or some reason or other that we're not going to have service on the Lord's Day. We usually call each other. But if there's any doubt at any time that we are not having because, you know, you think, well, you're not sure the weather's bad and so forth, we do have it on Channel 27 on the closing. So as soon as the elders decide that it's not safe for us to be here, then we call in and put it on Channel 27. And likewise, we try to make sure. That's why we ask you every once in a while, if you have a new phone number, well, let us know so that we'll be able to contact you or anything that's going on and keep you informed of what's taking place. Okay, and what else? Oh, the hymn sing is going to be this Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Northside Church, Christian Church. And they're, I don't know, is that Super Bowl Sunday?
No.
Okay, but there, some reason or another, so that you won't be expecting this, we don't go particularly for that. We really go for the fellowship we have with all the brothers and sisters in Christ in the community and the sister churches. But he did also tell us that they would not have an afterglow, that they've got so many activities of some kind or another taking place that night that they, he said they could have the hymn sing, but they would not have an afterglow. So whatever that means to you.
No,
yeah, no food. Afterglow, that's what it is, afterglow. You have a good time of fellowship and eat yourself, you know, eat yourself good. You know, like we do here? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, we eat good here. All right, so we look forward. Anybody wants to go there? I'm sorry. Anything else taking place we need to mention? Maxine had a birthday yesterday, and boy, they started a birthday on her Friday, and they just birthdayed her Friday and Saturday, took her out to eat and didn't even ask me to go. And, you know, I don't know. The grandson started Friday at noon, and then so that Friday night we were invited. I did get to go Friday night because one of our daughters had us over for supper, and the other girls was there. And then another daughter come yesterday and took her to dinner, and she just had to wore her out, poor thing. But boy, doesn't she look good to be 81? She's 80.
I can't hear her.
Who shoveled the driveway?
Okay.
Who shoveled the driveway?
Okay, all right. You know, now we talked to...
They want to know who shoveled the driveway.
Shoveled the driveway? Okay, yeah, okay. Our neighbor across the street cleaned the driveway. Was you in on that, Robert?
Robert and his family come up here, and he's seen them, and he come over here and volunteer.
Yeah, okay. So Robert,
they the one started.
Robert, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, you was going to shovel it with a scoop shovel.
Had four shovels.
Boy, you're ambitious. Yeah, that's great. But if you had the whole family, it wouldn't take too long to do that. But yeah, you know, I mean, we look at, you know, you got a good, healthy, strong family, and man, that'd been. But the neighbor saw you over here and had compassion on you.
Yes, amen.
Oh, isn't that one? Amen. So if you see the neighbor, thank you for coming I don't know how to say it, but thank you for coming and causing him to have compassion on you and clean our driveway. Okay. However it was, the driveway got cleaned. Praise the Lord. Okay. We was wondering about it. But sometimes, boy, it gets icy out there and we even slide off of it, don't we, Virginia? Yeah. All right. Well, okay. It's good. So good. Okay, let's turn our thoughts then to our prayer list. We have several on our prayer list that we certainly are mindful of, and we want to keep in our prayers. Each and every one on our prayer list is important to us. Their health is important to them, and whatever they're dealing with is important to them. And so we want to keep that in mind and pray for them and help them in that way. It's always been said the least we can do is pray for one another and pray for people in need. But then also we need to put feet on our prayers and walk over, put hands on our prayers, put a voice on our prayers, and help those people in any way we can. And so we have several. Kathleen is gone this morning, and I thought from what somebody said, I just thought she was taking a 2-week vacation, but I understand that Karen had an operation, a hip operation?
Hip operation.
So Kathleen has gone out to be with Karen during that time. So keep them in your prayers. I mentioned Steve being here, and he's a friend of Richard. You know, our Richard and his granddaughters comes quite regular, and Richard's had the flu recently, and he hasn't been able to be with us. And so we want to pray for him and his family. And then we have others that we have on our prayer list, and I won't go down the list because we have several there, and you know about all of them there. And I encourage you also to keep me acquainted with what's going on, and I'll be able to share with the whole church family. And so we noticed last week that Marianne Adams' brother-in-law passed away, Mr. Adams. We knew him. He's out of the Northside Christian Church. And so I was kind of surprised to read on my, I get the obituaries things every day from the two funeral homes. And when I come to his name, I thought, whoa, because the last time I saw him, he looked pretty, like he's doing right well. So pray for that family who've lost loved ones. And let's see, who else did I have on my mind? All the people that is on our prayer list has special needs in their lives. And we are concerned, and more than that, God is interested and concerned about their needs. And you people have different needs and so forth. So pray for each other, pray for one another. And isn't it wonderful how God hears prayer? And how God answers prayers in a very wonderful way. So we anticipate and we look forward to seeing God work in the lives of these people that we mentioned here. Yes,
Bert. Have you heard anything from Jerry?
Jerry and Judy, have you heard from them?
Oh, last time you talked to him this week.
Talked to him last night. And now Judy's sick.
Okay. Jerry had a very bad case of the flu, I guess you would call it flu, and so forth. Now, Judy has it now?
Maybe.
All right. I was wondering why they weren't here, because I thought they were getting along pretty good last week. Okay, and they're so faithful here and so forth, and we miss them when they're not here. All right, pray for them. Anybody else I'm overlooking? All right, God is so good, and God has you and all his people in his mind and on his heart, and he wants good things to happen. He's just interesting, too, how you feel and how you desire him to work in people's lives. Let's let him know how, okay?
Before prayer, him using number 94, sing the first verse, and Virgil will have her prayer. We just upstairs. If the world from you beholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there.
Amen.
The invitation needs to be number 401. 401.
By us not being here last week, I guess, and we didn't know about Kathleen not being here this week, nobody prepared for a special. Someone want to just kind of off the cuff get up and share a special with us? I thought sure that either Virginia or Michael would.
I have at it.
Couldn't
you?
Well, if I did that, I'll guarantee you Steve would never come back. I mean, some of you people would have mercy on me, but okay. Great to be here and great to share with you. You know, January, we usually kind of try to use messages that encourages us to look forward to good things of God and some of the things that we can do to help ourselves to actually be blessed of God and to enjoy the blessings of God. And hopefully that the one we had last week, a week before last, hopefully that stuck with you. Hope you got off to a good start, and hope you'll continue that way all through the year. So this morning's no different. We have a message that want to be encouraging to you in some way or another. Hope it will be encouraging to you, and hopefully that it will help you to see then how you might enjoy this new year in a good way and be blessed of God in a wonderful, wonderful way. And in Romans chapter 13 is where I pick up and get the message this morning. Actually, from verses 11 and 14 through 14 is what we'll use. And they read like this. Paul's writing to the Romans, and he says, "In that knowing the time that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, not in wantonness, not in strife, not in envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Title of the message this morning: wake up, clean up, dress up. And we get it right from that. That's what Paul's saying there in a sense. Wake up, clean up, dress up. And I think that will help us if we haven't got a good start on start. No, we don't use that. Maybe we can use this. And so going into the new year, we should do what we can do to better our life, you know. It's not biblical that to have that old saying, God helps them who helps themselves. Now that is not, people want to tell you that's in the Bible, but that's not there, but it's a good saying, isn't it? And so that's true. I think God expects us to do what we can do. And sometimes we pray for little old things that we should just go on and do because God gives us a talent, He gives us a blessing, He gives us strength to do them and so forth. So we ought to kind of inventory ourselves as what we're doing and how we're doing and what so that we can do that will further ourselves in the work of the Lord and so forth in the way of the Lord. So we geared up for the new year and we want this year to be better than last year. And I think most of our people here would agree that last year was a pretty good year. You know, I have to say thank you, Lord, for the year last year. But we suffered some things that we really didn't want to suffer, did we? We went through some things that we really didn't want to go through, and we don't want to experience them again. We want to look for new and better things. And that's what our message was week before last. That's what God had the messenger tell us. He's going to do new things in our life. He's got new things for us to do. We're not going to sulk around in the old things of last year. We're going on to new things, higher things, better things than what God has, has in store for us. So this morning, as we come, I want to use this passage and talk a little bit about what the Apostle Paul here has speaking to the Romans about. And when things don't go well, you know, he's the one that, when things don't go well, God is the only one that can really make them better. You know, we have friends that really help us. You friends help me, and we help one another, and people we work with and different, we have friends, and they help us. But when it really comes down, when the rubber really hits the road, you know, God is the only one that can really make things work better, really bring things about, really change things for you and help you in a way that you want to go. God is one. So I wish to share some thoughts on how we can make life better. And that is, we need to wake up. If there's anything that we need to holler out at America, we need to say, tell America, wake up, America! You know, we have a God who wants to bless us, and what are we doing? So wake up. You know, people really need to wake up. A Sunday school teacher asked the children just before they dismissed to go into church, and she asked, why is it necessary to be quiet in church? And little boy said, little Jimmy said, because people are sleeping. Yeah, people are sleeping, he says. And many people don't experience the good things of God because they're spiritually sleeping. You know, spiritually sleeping. And some people are spiritually sleeping, don't want to wake up. You know, they ignore God and Jesus and the Bible and they go on their miserable way. Isn't it something? And I'm not been trying to be critical, but you probably have some friends. You probably know some people that, you know, they don't look to God. They don't honor God, and they don't look to do the things that God has for them to do. But they just go on their miserable life, you know. Isn't it miserable to be miserable? I would think so. So some people just know they need to wake up to some of the spiritual things of God. And this message, I finished it up week ago yesterday. So when I say yesterday, that'd be a week ago Friday. But week ago Friday, I woke up and Maxine wasn't in the bed. And our master bedroom and has a bathroom there, and I noticed the door was open there and she wasn't there. So I just thought, well, boy, it's time to get up. So I got up and dressed and washed, started up the hall, but I didn't smell the coffee cooking, brewing. And I got in the kitchen, and there laid Maxine back in that laid-back chair, that lazy boy, you know, covered up, asleep. I looked at the clock, and it said 3:30. I said, Lord, here I'm washed up, dressed up, woke up, and it's 3:30. So I just sat down on the couch, started reading for a couple hours, got up, made some coffee, read some more. 7 o'clock, Maxine threw the covers back and set up. She said, I believe I'll go lay down for a while. Yeah, as if she hadn't been laying. And I thought, as she walked down the hall, I thought, yeah, it's time to wake up and you're going to go to sleep. Yeah, but you know, that's what happens to a lot of people. Sometimes they wake up and go to sleep. You know, I've seen people that they'll get up and wash up and dress up and go to church and they go to sleep. You ever see that? And they go to sleep. Yeah. That's the way we are sometimes. We wake up, wash up, go to church, go to sleep. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, writing to the Christians, says, it's time for God's people to wake up. And as alert as you people are, and but I cry out to the nation, not only to the church, but to the nation itself. Boy, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to wake up as God's people. Let the world know that we serve a great and risen, great God and a risen Savior. That's for sure. You know, we can expect people like Hollywood people to be, you know, sleep spiritually. We can expect people of the world to be spiritually asleep, not paying attention to what's going on. But the people in Christ Jesus need to be wide awake. Wide awake, you know. I've seen some people, and sometimes they walk along and you walk around, they look like they're half asleep, you know, they look like zombies, you know, they're not enjoying or not even seeing what's going on around. And as they're spiritually asleep. Sometimes back, talking with a preacher friend of mine, and he was telling me, he said, I've preached at that church for a long time. He said, I've preached sermons after sermons. He said, my people, they never say amen or nothing. He said, and so I thought on that for a while, and I told him about this little story you probably heard. You know, I read about this church who had this elderly fellow died during the service, and they called for the undertaker to come and take him out. And you know, lo and behold, they carried three people out before they found the right one. Yeah. Yeah. But here's what I told my preacher friend. I said, now, I'll tell you how to wake your people up. He said, how? I said, have a good old-fashioned service. One of those that handles them rattlesnakes and stuff. That'll wake them up. I don't know whether he did or not. You know, otherwise you just go on loving, serving, preaching and teaching and hope that somebody gets on fire, you know. Build a fire. And that's what we want to do. Boy, I would that God's people would build a fire in this nation. We'd just rise up and glorify God in such a way that people would just have to take notice, you know, of what God's doing. God is so great and so wonderful. So, yeah, we need to wake up. And then we need to clean up. That's what Paul said. Look there in verse 12 and 13. Look what he says. And see if that isn't what he says. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day of clamoring and in wantonness, not in strife, not in envy, he says. So he's saying, you know, we got to clean up our act. Those things we're participating in, he's telling the wrong, you can't do that. You clean up your act, boy. You know, you ever have your daddy say, boy, you better clean up your act? Yeah, daddy pretty good about that, you know. So from time to time, Pauline Cook and her sister get together and they make this lye soap. Did you make any this year? Did you give me a bar? Shame on you. That's why I'm so dirty. But she usually, they make that, and she usually gives me a bar of that lye soap. And boy, that really cleans my gritty hands, you know. It really does. But, you know, when we look at our lives, and Paul says our sin, you know, affects us and makes us unclean, and Pauline, your lye soap won't clean them up. No. It'll clean my gritty hands, but it can't clean my soul from sin. We need to clean up. Little boys like to play in mud holes, don't they? They like to see how muddy they can get, how dirty they can get. And, you know, I think there's people of the world that just like to participate in the things of the world, just see how dirty they can get. But the Apostle Paul said we need to clean up. Clean up our act, he's saying here. I read about this preacher. He was trying to get this young fellow to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the blessings that he has for young people. And he had made every effort that he could, trying to get him to receive Christ as his Savior, and he had not done it. So one day he just set the boy down and he said, now listen, he said, I don't know what is keeping you from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the blessings that comes from God through his loving hand. And the young boy thought for a minute and he said, well, you know, that'll just mess up my life. Isn't that the way some people think? You know, they'd rather have a messed up life. They'd rather mess in the filth and the dirt of the world than be cleaned up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and enjoying what God has in store for them. At least the young man understood that when you come to Christ, your life has changed. There's a difference. The apostle, the psalmist David put it this way. When he realized that he had sinned, and he cried out for mercy of God, and he said in Psalms 51:2, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, he says. He recognized the dirtiness of sin, the uncleanness of his soul. And he says to God, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7, he says, purge me. Purge me with hyssop. And that's what they use to cleanse with. And I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. John 1:9 says this, you know, and this is a verse I think everybody should have in their heart and their mind, you know. And John writes, and he's writing about God the Father, and he says, if we confess our sins, he, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Cleanse us. We need to clean up. How we clean up? Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonder. We talk about baptism, and we say that's where we contact the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're cleansed from, and the Holy Spirit does the work there. I don't know exactly how that all takes place. Only thing I know that God does it, and if God does it, it's all right, and he does it through the Holy Spirit. So I believe when we're baptized into Christ, that's death. That's where we contact the blood of Christ, which cleanses us. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. We need to be cleansed by that only thing that can cleanse. Lysol won't cleanse us. All the products that Procter & Gamble has put out in the years cannot cleanse a soul from sin. But a drop of blood from the precious Lord Jesus Christ upon a person's soul can cleanse them and what? Make them white as snow. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Sure is. From the White House to the schoolhouse, from the House of Senate to the House of Sinners and to the Saints, from the Congress to the Church, we need the Holy Spirit cleansing in our lives. Wake up, clean up. Dress up. Look at verse 14. But put ye on. Dress up. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now most of you, I say most of you, I really believe I'd say that truthfully. Most of you are not dealing with what Paul has said here of all these things that Paul has mentioned, all these things of the flesh. But there are things we must deal with. Maybe you're not sinned in these things Paul's talking about, but there are other things. What about your disposition? People sin, and we need to clean it up. God created us, and he can recreate. That's what Paul talks about when we have the baptismal service, and Doodle reads from Romans there 6, and it reads about the newness, you know, when we die in Christ, we're born into the kingdom, and we're renewed. New things happen. And so, yes, now we dress up. And it says here, not in the provisions of the flesh here, he says, in verse 14. Another way of saying this verse is, I believe, and I wrote down here, rather clothe yourself, you know, clothe yourself. He says here to put on the Lord. That means clothe yourself with Christ Jesus. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Some people, I think, I could be wrong, I hope I'm wrong, but some people just get up in the morning and they just, I think in their mind, just think how they can go out and how they can participate in things that are sinful. That's a terrible thought, and I hope I'm wrong about that, but I believe there are some people that do that. And yes, they desire the sinful nature. But you know, the scripture says, and I can understand Satan dealing with people, the scripture says that the pleasure of sin, you know, is just for a short time. And so the scripture itself says there's pleasure in sin. But boy, it's just for a short while. You know, you can think about the fellow that drinks a lot. When he drinks, I mean, he has a pleasure. Boy, he gets a feeling good and so on. But boy, in the morning, he's devoted. What about in the morning? Different story. And what about the guy that goes out and commits adultery? And boy, I mean, he has pleasure for a little while. But what about in the morning when he wakes up and looks over at his wife and says, boy, what I've done, I don't know you. I mean, so yeah. And some people just desire to do that. But God has so much things better. And Paul says we don't participate in, and I don't think you all people participate in, but we need to clean up some of the things that's in our lives, and we need to dress up in Christ Jesus. We need to, if we're looking for if you're looking for a way to dress up, don't go to Walmart. Man, don't go to Walmart. Don't look at, Matthew's not here this morning, isn't he? He's back to college, but I'll use him because I got a note in here for him. You know, and don't look at Matthew either, because if you look at Matthew in the way he'll freeze you to death. He comes here with a zero with those short sleeves and those short pants on. That shows you the vigor of a young man, doesn't it? He can stand that, boy. But no, dress up. How we dress up, who we look to dress up. Oh, you know, the outward appearance, we are either dressed up or we're dressed down. But today is a casual thing, isn't it? Oh, everybody dresses casual. You got to have those blue jeans that got the knees out of them and ripped down the hip joint and so forth. And then you're in style, you know. Casual. I'm talking about a preacher friend now. He's not as much a friend as he used to be because I just am deplored at what he does. But he preached at a church for several years. And this one lady who was fond of him and treated him well and so forth. And she died. He left and went to another church. And she died. And we went to her funeral. And we were sitting there and this preacher came in. And it wasn't a preacher that used to be at the church. The preacher that used to be at our church was one who, you know, washed up, woke up, washed up, and cleaned up. But I was astounded when I saw him and saw he had his old blue jeans on, an old sport jacket that the cat had slept on, and the ripped off and so forth. It's casual. You know, casual. I think it's disrespectful myself. But that's the way we live, don't it? Casual. Come as you are. But when it comes to the spiritual things, we can't be casual. When it comes to our hearts and the things of our hearts and our minds, we can't be casual. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible class this morning. Daniel was not. He recognized that you just don't flamply and violently do things, talk to God in a way that lures him to you. We need to be pulled up to him. It's the way we need to go. So the outward appearance, you know, the way we dress says something about us. And I'm not talking about your clothing and so forth, in a sense, but it does have something to do with it, you know. It first impressions, how you dress tells you something about who you are, tells what you work at most of the time. It just tells a whole lot about you. And so what I'm saying is this, friends, the importance of how you dress and what it does, effects that has on everybody around you. What about our spiritual dress? It's not casual. I'm afraid that's what's happened to America. I'm afraid that's what's happened to the church, really, is that everybody wants to be casual. It certainly doesn't give a good impression of Almighty God to me, the way I think. Oh, yes, we need to dress up. Casual is not what God wants on the inside. We might be casual on the outside, but that's not what God wants on the inside, that's for sure. Galatians 3 and 26 and 27. Here's how we clothe up. Paul writes that in Christ Jesus, we're all sons and daughters of Christ, of God, through faith. For he says, for many of you that have been baptized in Christ Jesus have put on Christ. Is that what Paul's saying? Have put on Christ. You have been clothed in Christ Jesus through your acceptance and your baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. You now have put him on. The old person's gone away. The new person now is on. Having put on Christ, we are reflecting a certain godly characteristics. It's not hard, is it? It's not too hard anymore. Wherever you're at, you can almost tell who are God's people. One of the ways I can tell a child of God is by their complexion. By their contentance. By their face. I'm a poor judge of people, but I judge people, and I believe it's a fair way to judge. When I look at a person, I can just about tell whether Christ is in their life or not. Can you do that? You can do that. Sure you can. Put on Christ. Colossians says, chosen ones of God, How and what is it we dress up in? Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3:12, and he tells them how to clothe themselves in Christ. Listen to what he says. And he said, talking to people who have God, he's talking to the chosen ones, and he says, you know, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. That's a big one, isn't it? Patience. But he said, we are to dress up. And this is what we're to put on. This is what people ought to see us wearing. Therefore, every believer that puts on that has put on Christ by virtue and trusting who Jesus and what he has done for us, will be clothed in white raiment. Think about that, folks. This is what the writer of Revelation says in John 3:5. Jesus said, actually, he records what Jesus said, and Jesus said, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Listen to that. Those who have dressed up in Christ, those who are clothed in Christ, those who are wearing this compassion hearts and kindness, meekness, patience, will be dressed in white clothing. And Jesus said when he comes and he's going to introduce us then to heaven and to the Father, and he says, those who are dressed in white raiment, I will not blot their name out of the book of life. That's great, isn't it? How are you dressed this morning? Better wake up and clean up, hadn't we? If we want to be dressed in white raiment. I could say to you this morning, if you're not clothed in white raiment, you can be. As we stand for our invitation hymn, you can come, you can be cleansed from your sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as you receive him and are baptized into him. And your name will be written down in the book of the Lamb's book of life. And he will not blot it out if you'll continue to walk after him. Let's stand and sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn. Any reason that you need to answer the invitation, please do that. And there's several reasons. Some of you might want to rededicate your life. You just might have something you need prayer about. But you want to give your life to Jesus, whatever it might be. Come as we sing the first verse together and you lead us. My master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. All today, where'er he leads, I'll follow. Where'er he leads, I'll go. I'll follow Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen. Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And I'm quite sure, because of the past experience we've had with the Lord Jesus, he's going to lead you into some of the greatest things you ever experienced this week. He's going to grant you a good week, lead you in the paths of righteousness, and bless you like you've never been blessed before. Michael, would you dismiss us in God's wonderful love?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and learn more about your word. We thank you for your perfect word. We thank you for the message that you've given for Benny. We ask, Father, that you please help us to keep it in mind throughout the week. Help us to stay strong. Help us to wake up, dress up, and clean up so that we may honor you throughout this week. Please bring us here again on Sunday next week to worship more in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great and safe day.